This is the word of the Lord from Joshua 14, starting in verse 6. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again, as it was in my heart. But my brothers, who went up with me, made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God." And Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years, since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am this day 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. So now, give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said." Then Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Now the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. Thus ends the reading of the word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever.
Amen.
Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this word, this revelation of your nature and your character. You show us your faithfulness, your holiness. May we, by your Spirit's power and by your word, be transformed into the people of God you call us to be. And Lord, I ask for a special gift, the gift of preaching upon, for apart from your Holy Spirit, I have nothing to add to your holy word. I pray it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
So we come to Joshua chapter 14. Last week we looked at Joshua chapter 13. And we're really getting into the area of the inheritance of the various plots of land for the people of Israel. And last week we discovered that chapter 13 reveals a transition in Joshua from the conquering of the land previously to the settling of the land and the inheritance. In chapter 11, verse 23, it says, "So Joshua took the whole land." That's everything up to that point. He had conquered the land according to all that the Lord had spoken to Moses. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance to Israel according to the tribal allotments. And the land had rest from war. That phrase in chapter 11 we just heard is the read here in chapter 14. Well, in chapter 12, the whole of chapter 12 was about the kings that had been defeated by the Israelites. Now, these are the kings of the land whom the people of Israel defeated and took possession of their land. It divides them into east of the Jordan and west of the Jordan. And then we came to chapter 13 last week. It says in verse 32, "These are the inheritances that Moses distributed in the plains of Moab beyond the Jordan, east of Jericho." So these now are the inheritances that Moses had spoken a long time ago what the promise was for the people in the land of Canaan. And right before his death on the plains of Moab, he whether he etched it out on a map or wrote it in the dirt, or how he passed that on to Joshua, I don't know exactly, but it was from Moses that these inheritances are distributed to the people of Israel when they were still beyond the Jordan, east of Jericho. And even the mention of those two words, the Jordan and Jericho, stir up the memory of the people of God and the victory and the power of God, the power of God to stop the Jordan River and to bring his people over on dry ground, the power of God to tear down the walls of Jericho and defeat the enemies of God. So the very sentence itself reminds the people of God of God's power and his faithfulness. And today we come to chapter 14, where before we read of a particular inheritance, we read a particular inheritance is given first. We're going to see, if you read ahead, you'll see that at end of chapter 15, the inheritance for the tribe of Judah, and then the other tribes will come after that, are mentioned. But before we get there, there's a special inheritance that's given. And it's given to the tribe of Judah. That's right, not just merely to Caleb, as we heard, but it's an inheritance given in a special person for a special reason, but it's given to Judah. So, as Issa read, did you hear a problem in this text? Did you hear any kind of sin that Caleb had done? No, just the opposite. It's talking about how faithful he was, how he wholly followed the Lord. He's one held up that we should emulate, that he's a faithful man and believed the Lord. So we're always looking for the problem in the text, and there appears to be nothing here but blessing. It's an inheritance. That's what this passage is about. And when there's no brokenness or problem in the text, then what are we supposed to do? Pastor Bill, you are so negative. You're always looking for the problems. But there isn't one. So what do we do? And of course, I already said it when I prayed. Did you hear what I said when I prayed? Were you listening? Lord, I thank you for this word, this revelation of your nature and your character. The Word of God reveals the nature and the character of God. Even in those tough passages where we don't always get it, where sometimes it seems bloody or sometimes it even seems contrary to what we know about love. But in there somewhere, if we look at it long enough, if we consider it carefully, if we pray about it, if we compare it to other passages and what we know about the story of God and his people, redeeming the people for himself through Jesus Christ, we will find the nature and the character of God, even when it's not easy to see. So, today, even if we don't see brokenness, we can certainly see the nature and the character of God. So let's take a closer look at chapter 14, verse 6 and following. Verse 6 says this, "Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal." So this isn't just about Caleb. It starts out by saying, the people of Judah come. Now why would the people of Judah come with Caleb?
Because
he's from the tribe of Judah. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, has a name. Kenzie. It's Kenzie. What is a Kenzie? Is he not a Jew? Is he not of the tribe of Judah? He's with the tribe of Judah. They came with him. So now I'm confused. I'm waiting for the answers. I'm waiting for Tom to speak up and give me the answer to this. He's getting a big head. This is the one that Randy knows.
Was Kenzie
Mama didn't raise no dummies. Well, she did, but it's not Steve. He's right. He had an ancestor by that name, and if you go all the way to 2 Chronicles, and I don't remember the chapter and the verse, he actually has an ancestor by that same name. That's named after the main guy way back when. And so in this case, the Kenizzite is not like the Hivites and the Jebusites and the Amorites. It's not a tribe of the people in the land of Canaan. It's a family within the tribe of Judah. And so Caleb comes with the tribe of Judah and says to Joshua, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea concerning you, Joshua, and me. You know. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. So Joshua and Caleb and how many other spies?
Ten.
Ten more, 12, one from each tribe. And so Caleb represents the tribe of Judah. He's their spy. And they all go into the land and they come back. And we know the story, right? And he brings the report back. I brought him word again, or I brought word back to him, we might say, as it was in my heart. So, Numbers 14 tells us how Caleb brought word back to Moses and the people of Israel as it was in his heart. And so it says in Numbers 14. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. Now, why would they tear their clothes? Because right before this, the other 10 spies said, we can't do it. We just came back to the land. Those are giants in the land. That's just dangerous. There's no way we can do this. And so Caleb and Joshua, they tore their clothes and said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, the land which we passed through to spy it out is exceedingly good land. Yeah, but there's giants in it. And in verse 8 it says, if the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into the land and give it to us, and the land flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them. And the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. That's what was in the heart of Caleb when he comes back to Moses and shares what he saw in the land. It's that heart. And here in Joshua 14, Caleb recalls 45 years later. But my brothers, that were the other 10 spies who went up with me, made the heart of the people melt. Their report, what is it called in the Hebrew, in Numbers? It literally says they gave an evil report. That's what the spies did. They spoke evil. When God says something is true and we say, no, I don't believe it, it's an evil report. Is there a problem in this text? There's a problem in the text. The problem in the text, it appears to be nothing but blessing, but 10 of the 12 spies, it recalls, it takes us back, it makes us remember, it reminds us that 10 of the 12 spies didn't believe God's promise to give them the land. It points to a past weakness and a past fear. Those spies, they believed their eyes and they feared. They heard the promise of God, but they saw with their eyes and they said, I can't not believe my lion eyes. They caused fear because they did not believe the promises of God. Out of fear, They fail to follow. Wow. I could stop right here and talk about fear, because if the world ever needed a message about fear, it's now.
Amen.
Right? There's reason to be careful and wise. But there is no reason to fear.
Amen.
We should be responsible, but we ought not to be fearful. But that's a different sermon. Did they fail to follow, Pastor Bill, or did they just fail to obey? That's interesting. Well, what's the text say? It says right there in verse 8, "Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God." Caleb wasn't just saying that he was going to just strike out and do something that was out of his imagination. He dreamt up some beautiful thing that he wanted to believe was true, and so he had faith for it. No, he followed the Lord my God. The Lord called him, and he obeyed. He followed him. And so it's of both obedience and following. And here we find our first point. Caleb followed the Lord because he believed the promises of God over his human experience. The human experience always invites us to not believe God. Something will pop up in our experience that says, I know you want to trust God, but can you really? It's not turning out the way you thought it was. Often our human senses, our reason, our experience cause us to doubt and to shrink back from trusting and obediently following the Lord. Well, Pastor Bill, we live in a culture that says we should pursue our experiences. That's good. And it says to follow our hearts. And we send our kids to schools that say, you know, learn how to think and reason. And now you're saying we shouldn't, like, pay attention to any of those things? No, I'm not saying that. But let me ask this question. Well, this is your question to me. Are you saying that we should just be irrational, rash, and compulsive? Should we just strike out on our own? No. No, I'm not saying that. This is my question. What part of us is affected by sin and brokenness? Every part of us. How about my reason? Do human beings have the ability to reason?
Yes
they do. We can look at 2 plus 2 and say it's 4. And we can with absolute certainty say that that's a scientific law. And I don't care what they're teaching in some university somewhere that is no longer true.
Amen.
That's rational. Right? So we are given the ability to reason. And where did that come from? Oh, we're created in the image of God, who is himself reason. In fact, that's his name. In John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And the word for word in Greek is logos. Logic. Reason. And so, yes, we're rational. We're logical. We're emotional. And all of that is affected by my sin and my brokenness. I'm saying we should believe that God will be faithful to his promises, even when my logic wants to invite me to believe he won't. Even when my experiences says, but remember that one time it didn't turn out the way you thought it would, so maybe it's not going to this time. Or maybe my emotions have fooled me again because they're really affected by sin and brokenness. Sometimes I can't muster the strength to get out of bed. Sometimes I'm frustrated. Sometimes I'm scared. Sometimes I just don't know what to think or what to do. Every part of me is affected by sin and brokenness. happiness. And what I'm saying is that we should believe what God has told us, not what we think, not what we feel, not what we experience. And verse 9 says, and Moses swore on that day. By the way, that's not even recorded anywhere in the scriptures that Moses swore. Well, it's recorded here in the scriptures. So it is recorded in the scriptures. But nowhere else in scripture is it recorded. Not in Deuteronomy, not in Numbers, not in Exodus. Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot, that is you, Caleb, your foot has trodden, shall be an inheritance for you, Caleb, and for your children, Caleb, forever. Because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. That's what Moses said. He wholly followed him. He saw the same thing that the other spies saw. It seemed irrational to go into a land where there were giants and there were walled cities. It's irrational to think that we can take down Jericho, a walled city, with sticks in slings and wooden spears. But when you blow the trumpet under the power of the Holy Spirit, the walls come tumbling down. Why was Caleb willing to wholly follow the Lord when others of his day were not? That's an interesting question. Joshua and Caleb were willing to do it, and 10 of them were not. Well, back in Numbers 14 again, it says this, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. And down to verse 30, not one shall come into the land where I swore that I would make you dwell. None of those 10 other spies will come into the land except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Why? Because he had a different spirit. The spirit of the man was different. Now, what's that? I don't know. But what spirit do you have? You know, in the Old Testament, him having a different spirit, Caleb having a different spirit, is unique, because there are times in the Old Testament where it says that the Spirit of God empowered the artisans to make the pieces of the tabernacle. So they did that under the power of the Holy Spirit. Certainly, Moses and his power, the presence and the power of the Lord was with him in a different way, or David had a heart after God, or Abraham believed God and was crowned to him as righteousness. There are unique individuals, but it's specifically the Spirit of God, the Lord giving his Spirit to occasional people, or Deborah, the judge in the book of Judges. But what spirit do you have? If you believe in Jesus, if you call Jesus Lord, if you say that sins are forgiven because God the Son God the Father sent God the Son to die on the cross for the complete forgiveness of my sins, and I believe that, I know that to be true, then you have the Holy Spirit of God living within you. Because it's only by the Spirit that you can proclaim Jesus is Lord. You have been given the Holy Spirit for the purpose of sanctification and to faithfully obey the Lord. So it's not like just one of us gets the Holy Spirit. Just Caleb and just Joshua, just Moses. No, we all have the Holy Spirit. Back to Caleb's response in Joshua 14. Verse 10 it says, and now behold, he said, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years. Since that time, the Lord spoke his word to Moses. while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am this day 85 years old. Wow, he must be feeling really tired and about ready to die. Well, notice this. These 45 years, he's 85 years old. He was 40 when he received the promise from God. He's 85. In his 84th year, he hadn't seen the fulfillment of the promise of God. For 44 years, God was silent about his promises. How many of us would simply have given up after, say, 10 or 15 minutes? Caleb waits 45 years, and he goes knocking on the tent door. Although the tent probably wasn't that loud. He knocks on the tent door and says, "Yo, Joshua, the Lord promised me, and here I am. Pony up." This text reveals God's, the faithfulness of God to the promise made to Caleb and the tribe of Judah 45 years later. That's powerful. Any of you been holding on to a promise from God for a really long time and you wonder if God has forgotten his promise? Our second point is this, that God will always be faithful to his promises on his timetable and on his terms. Ooh, I don't like that, Pastor. Well, I'm not wild about it either. But which one of us is God? He alone is God. He alone knows what's best. Might it be best for you to wait 3 times longer than you're prepared to wait for the answer to your prayers? God, I'm not saying it is. Sometimes God answers prayers like that. But if he knows that it's best for you to wait 3 times longer than you're prepared, he will allow you to wait 3 times longer because he loves you and he wants the very best for you. He alone understands what is needed. He knows what's going to take to change the heart of that other person. He knows when and how it will come about. He alone is God. He's the one who has all knowledge and all power to change all things. When we inject our will and trust our reason above God's promise, then we fail to follow and we wander into disobedience. In verse 11, he wondered if he was maybe getting a little tired at age 85. Apparently not. I am still as strong today as I was the day Moses sent me. I don't even know if I believe that. I'm only 55. No, I'm not as strong as I was when I was 40.
Strong than what?
You know, I'm way over 70.
That's thank you. It means a lot coming from you. My strength now is as my strength was then. For what? Thanks for asking, Art. For war and for going and for coming, for everything. For getting up, moving about, running around, running to the bathroom. I just threw that in to 85. I'm assuming that's an issue. Right? For going to war. So now give me. That's an imperative. Give me, Joshua. Give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. Well, you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out just as the Lord said. Amen. That's a spunky old dude right there.
Is he spunky?
No.
Yeah.
Or does he believe in the promise and in the power of the God who made the promise?
That's what will make him spunky, by the way. Some people are just naturally spunky. Laura Moe, naturally spunky.
But you too can have spunk when you believe the promise and the power of the God who raises the dead.
So even as an old man, Caleb is still believing that the Lord will defeat his enemies for him.
Perhaps it will be, maybe it will be that the Lord will be with me. Well, he was with me before, well, why would he not be with me now? He made the promise, and if there's still Anakim in the land, he's going to take them out just like he took out their predecessors.
A lifetime of trusting, watching, believing, and following God prepares us for trusting the Lord with the last enemy. Because one day, we will all come up against the enemy that our friend Laura ran up against this week. Every one of us will run up against the enemy that our friend Sandy ran up against last week. But a lifetime of believing and trusting and watching the Lord fight our battles reminds us that we can trust him for the very last enemy in this place, that Jesus has come and he has already overcome sin and death and hell itself. Verse 13 says, then Joshua blessed him. Caleb demands response. Joshua blesses him. And he gave him Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. And therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day. That's that repeated phrase that we keep seeing throughout Joshua. To this day. The faithfulness of God has been fulfilled to this day. Because he would wholly follow the Lord, the God of Israel. So the third point is this. God is wholly faithful to his promise, thus we can wholly follow the Lord. He wasn't wholly faithful to his promise because Caleb was somehow manipulating God. He was wholly faithful to his promise that empowered and that enabled Caleb to be wholly faithful to follow the Lord. And then lastly, in verse 15, it says, now the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Now that verse, what does that mean? Well, it means there are the greatest of four. That's what it technically means. And so we don't know if that city and that region was like a part of a confederation of four, and that was given over to Caleb, and it's a sign that God is taking out of the most powerful and giving into the hands of his faithful servant. But what's really important is this, and the land at rest from war. Repetition. From what we saw in chapter 11, verse 23. Interesting, we have the exact same phrase, right? And the land had rest from war. And yet Caleb acknowledged the work still had to be done in his old age. He said, well, maybe the Lord will still be with me and I'll drive them out. And so there's this already and the not yet, right? He's given this land, it's already his, and yet there's still some mopping up operations that need to be done. So even in his old age, he understands that the promises of the Lord are being fulfilled, but he still lives in an imperfect world. It's still a fallen place. There's still enemies that lurk about. And I do wonder if maybe we as Christians in the 21st century live in such a sanitized world where we just think that God's going to move and the miracles are going to come and my life is going to be perfect here. That's a first world problem. Come with me to India. Come with me to Egypt. And come with me to Haiti. Life is not perfect. And it's still
our sins through the work of Jesus on the cross, there's still brokenness and there's still enemies to be defeated. So it's already happened because at the cross, he defeats Satan and sin and death and hell. But it's not yet been consummated.
And in this story of Caleb's boldness in claiming his inheritance, we learned three things. We saw three points. We follow the Lord because we trust God's promises over our experiences. God is always faithful to his promises on his timetables and in his terms. And God is wholly faithful to his promise. Thus, we can wholly follow him. But where is Jesus? Aren't we supposed to preach Jesus from Joshua? Wasn't that the goal? Oh, he was there. How do we get there from here? Let me ask this question. To whom did God fulfill his promise? Caleb. Judah. To Caleb alone? No, not to Caleb alone. This text reveals that the faithfulness of God to the promise made to Caleb and the tribe of Judah came 45 years later. So the very beginning of the curriculum he started, the passage started this way. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenite, said to him. So it's Judah who comes to claim the inheritance for Caleb. God must fulfill his promises to Judah, for from Judah will be the Lord's ultimate protection, provision, and inheritance. It's from Judah that we will find the one who is the Messiah, who will protect, who will atone for the sins of God's people. Genesis chapter 49, all the way back when Jacob is blessing his sons as he's dying, it says, Judah, your brothers shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's cub. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He stooped down. He crouched as a lion and as a lioness who dares rouse him. The scepter, the symbol of power and reigning, ruling power and authority. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until tribute comes to him, and to him shall be the obedience of That's the prophecy spoken about the tribe of Judah. Right there in Genesis, there is a prophecy spoken that the Messiah is. That we understand now that this is the Messiah that will come from the tribe of Judah. And in Revelation, this lion's cub from Judah is revealed as Jesus. I pick up where I left off in first word. And one of the elders said to me, Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. Who can open the scroll? Only the one who is the one who created the heavens and the earth. No one on the earth, or no one in heaven, or no one under the earth could open it, because he's the one who created it. Jesus, the Lion of Judah, has conquered sin and death and hell. He is the risen Lord of life. And to him shall be the obedience of the peoples, that is, the nations. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
Our vision at Sunrise Church is to invite friends to grow in faith with us as God's community of grace. Let me ask this question. Are you willing to invite friends? Are you ready to grow in faith? Will you submit to God's leading through the community of grace? We follow the Lord because we trust God's promise over our experiences. Well, I don't want to invite friends. I've invited friends in the past, and no one in the past has ever responded to me, so I can't invite friends. Well, you know, I've tried that in the past. We've tried those, we've done different things, and it didn't work. So we're just going to show up and, you know, get a long, solidly biblical, long sermon, and go home after a really long time at church. You know, maybe we're just going to be a little church. Our little church. I've heard it described as that. I would argue that if the line of Judah is present here, there's nothing little about the church of Jesus Christ. God is always faithful to his promises on his timetable and on his terms. It's not what I thought. I started going to Sunrise Church, when we planted Sunrise Church, when I was attracted to Sunrise Church, when I moved into town, and it's not what I thought. God's faithful to his promises, but he does it on his timetable and he does it on his terms. But God is wholly faithful to his promise. Therefore, we can wholly follow the Lord. Are you ready to be obedient to the Lion of Judah? Do you trust the promises of the Lord, the God of Israel? Will you wholly follow Jesus? Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your faithfulness and your love. Out of your great love for us, you were faithful to us, and we failed to be faithful ourselves. When we were far from you, you came out and you found us. You left the 99 to seek out the one who wandered off. When we were in a distant country, when we were eating the slop of pigs, you reminded us that in our Father's house, even the slaves, even the servants, sit at the table and feast. And when we were a long way off, you ran out and you greeted us. You killed the fattened calf, and even the angels in heaven rejoice because the lost one has been found. Lord, thank you for your promises. Might you stir in us again the confidence that you are always faithful so that we can wholly follow you no matter what the future holds. We can trust you. And yes, there are still Anakim in the land, but perhaps, maybe, the Lord will still be with us as we continue to proclaim and to live out